Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio with your host, Pastor Cheryl Fax. And thank you so much for joining me today for Favor Life, the process of there where we walk by faith and not by sight to the call, destiny, and purpose of God. In this 15-minute empowerment, you're going to be encouraged in your walk of faith, the process of that walk. You're going to be encouraged in the Word of God, the will of God, and even how God allows our everyday life to shape us and make us as we grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You will understand that your life is so important, that your life is not a mistake, that God intentionally wanted you, that God intentionally purposed you, and no matter how or what has occurred in your life, because God wanted you and He's made a way of your escape through the blood of Jesus Christ, now you will walk in purpose, and the purpose that God has in your life will make and shape you and cause other lives to be touched, other lives to be blessed, other lives to even know Jesus Christ because of your walk of worship unto the Lord every single day. When God chooses an individual, a nation, or a tribe, He uses them for His glory, and no one or nothing can stop what He wills. He wants you, He desires you, He loves you, He feels you, and He uses you. This their process is a process like Abraham. Abraham was called by God to go to there. That their place for us is an ongoing process until we meet Him, until we see Him. And that process is to make us, to shape us, to push us, to stretch us, to reform and refine us, to pour into us all that He is so that we can become all that He is as we apply the application of the word, what we've been taught, what we've learned, what we've heard, what we've studied. As we apply that application, fruit comes. We've been studying in the book of Proverbs, going back to that book. We've been in this book for a while, and the nuggets that we're getting are so great, helping us to walk in wisdom. And the book of Proverbs was written so that we would be skilled and know how to act in every situation. In every situation, we can all say that we've never acted in the wisdom of God in every situation. But now that we understand that it's God's wisdom that He wants us to walk and act in, and that He wants us to be successful by walking in His wisdom along with His word, we are able to now conquer things that we did not conquer before, and we're able to move forward in places that we were stuck because the wisdom of God is there, even in the book of Proverbs, to help us become skilled in how to solve problems, how to handle situations, how to love, how to deal with relationships, finances, how to deal with difficult people, how to deal with things on our job, how to walk in ministry and be all that God says. So we're going back there. We're in studying now, and we're talking about marriage and wisdom for marriage. And we said before that, marriage is nothing to be looked at as something as lightly or taken on as lightly. It's something that we have to understand that this is more than just two people coming together. It is something that is supposed to honor God, and I'm talking to those who know Jesus, because even though in the church and in the world there is a very high rate of divorce, that is not the will of God, and so there has to be a change in how we approach marriage and how we deal with marriage. It's not something you just do because it's time, or you just got out of college, or you've done everything you need to, and now it's just time to put another check mark on a box for something that you've accomplished. Marriage requires work and dedication and communication. It requires trust. It requires you both to be on the same page when it comes to biblical principles about how you're going to live your life and what you're going to produce and how you're going to make that marriage a kingdom marriage. It's not necessarily that you have this disagreement, because as in life, you're going to have those things. But it's that you don't allow that to make you disagreeable. You don't allow that place to separate you, that you always make sure that you're coming together in unity. Because if you don't, your prayers are hindered. God working in your life is hindered when you two don't walk in agreement. And we understand that God commanded us to walk in love, especially in a marriage, especially in the church. We're supposed to walk in love, forgiveness, and compassion. We're supposed to walk in a way that demonstrates who He is. As we remember what God has done for us and how He has shown mercy and grace to us so many times when we didn't deserve it, we are now to demonstrate that, live that, give that to someone else. And in a marriage, you're definitely going to need that because it's two becoming one. It's two different lifestyles, two different backgrounds, two different upbringings, two different concepts, two different mindsets coming together and now becoming one. And that process of cleaving, leaving and cleaving is one that takes a lot of work because we are set in our ways, set in our own mindsets, but it's now forgetting about yourself and now coming together and say, what is it that we need to do? How do we need to act? How do we need to become one? How do we need to grow together? A lot of times we have concepts that we've adapted from the world, from movies, from books, from all kinds of different images, and we need to go to the Word, and we need to find out what it is that God is saying about marriage and how He feels about marriage and how we need to make our marriage look like what He says. And that everybody's marriage is different. Some people are still stuck on old traditional ways in a modern culture, and it doesn't work. And what I mean by that is some people feel like the wife is supposed to do all these things and no help from the husband, whereas this day in society, with life as busy as it is, with both parents working most of the time, with children involved, it takes two to run that house. And some of the things that a wife may have done before now may be different. If the wife gets home later than the husband, then it's nothing wrong with the husband picking up the children and starting dinner, you know, the times that she can't get there on time. It's nothing wrong with him putting a load of laundry in the washing machine and folding them and putting them away. It's nothing wrong with that. It's how you balance your marriage to fit you and your spouse. And so the concepts now are what fits and works to make your home happy and makes your home work together. So as I said before, you have to be wise. You have to understand that it's a great responsibility and it's not to be entered into unwisely, that it's supposed to be something that you've thought of, that you are prepared for in some aspect, because you can never be 100% prepared for any relationship that goes along with any job. You can never be 100% prepared because there's going to always be something that you're not ready for that will challenge you, that will stretch you. But if you have wisdom and you have knowledge and you have patience, and you're willing to press through to see the results that you know you can get, then you can have what the Word says you can have. So you have to be wise. You have to understand that you have to manage yourself, manage how you deal with each other, even manage your time. You cannot be so busy trying to make money or trying to do other things that you don't make time for one another. Even though responsibility for being parents is very pressuring and it's exhausting and it stretches you, you still have to make time for each other. You still have to make time to be there for one another, not just be there in the body form, but be there emotionally, mentally, even physically for that person, to share time with each other, make time for each other. People grow apart and they adapt to other things that stretch them and push them. And they leave out sometimes being there for their spouse, being there for their family. So you have to make sure that you balance your life. And it can be difficult, but whenever you start allowing the Lord to lead you and talk to you about your life and your family life, because charity begins at home. It's going to start in that house. What you birth out, what you grow out, what matures, what develops, is going to start in your home. Not on the job, not in the church house, not in the presence of other people, because the real foundation of who you are and what you're developing and how you are developing lives and relationships, it's going to be in your house. And if you don't take the time thinking that you'll have later on to do it, you'll see that time will fly by and you will not develop a relationship, a closeness, an intimacy with those who live in the house with you. And children will resent you for that. They will resent the fact that you were not there, that you never talked to them, that you were never really a part of their life. You were there in the house, but you were not a part of their lives. You didn't share in some of the things that they did, some of the things that they needed you there for. So you don't want that. So everything about marriage is understanding the responsibility that comes with it and saying, I want to be what God says, and I want to be a kingdom wife, a kingdom husband. I want to raise kingdom children, and I want to do it the way that the Lord says. and I want us to develop the relationship, that intimacy as a family, as a couple, that will last beyond, long beyond the good times. Even when we face bad times, it's, we are there together for one another. Finances is something that we talked about before, and it's a place that many people argue and fuss and have disagreements and separations over. Finances have to be something that you really, really talk about honestly, and that you really put the principles of the word in that, that you make sure that you are a tither and a giver. Because if you put God first in those finances, God is going to take care of you and take care of your family. If you are a tither consistently, not once a year, but consistently giving and tithing and doing it cheerfully, doing it because you understand that God is only asking you 10% out of that whole 100. He only asks for 10%. The other 90 is yours. And if you give God and trust God with that and trust God that he's going to take care of you, and you do that, you by faith believe that God is going to make ways out of no way, open up doors you cannot see, and do the miraculous for you. And as you and your wife pray together concerning the steps you need to make in your finances and things that you need to do, and you communicate well with each other, honestly with each other, develop a budget. Develop, and that is something that people do not do. And I have been guilty of that, but I've learned through life that if you want to make steps, you have to develop a budget. You have to develop a vision for where you're going. You have to have a vision for your life, vision for your marriage, vision for your family, vision for your finances, and you have to set steps to walk towards what you see. And it has to be realistic steps that lead you on to bigger things. And when you do that, you allow God to come in and do some miraculous things in your life. Okay? So finance is an issue that, you know, you've really got to talk about. You've really got to allow God to really teach you and show you what is best and how to do it. Time management is another thing, making time for one another. Forgiveness is a big thing, big key here. And we're going to get into these some more things about marriage, you know, later this week. But I want you to understand forgiveness is a big thing. 1 Peter 3:7 says, husband, in the same way that way, be considered as you live with your wives and treat them with respect, as the weaker partner, and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of love, of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. Forgiveness is so key, because there will be things that will be done or misconstrued, or things that will happen that you feel a certain way and that person didn't know. You might have had it all in your head, but you never expressed it with your mouth, or you didn't express your mouth the right way. You just assumed that they were going to know, they should know, and we are not mind readers in a marriage. You have to tell that person what you want, how you feel. You have to tell them, and as you tell them, their ears hopefully are open, their heart is hopefully open, and there's no walls built up, no offense built up, so that they can hear what you're saying, understand what you're saying, and move to the direction of fixing or changing that. But forgiveness has got to be key. You cannot say you forgive someone and continue to bring it up. You cannot say you forgive someone and continue to punish them. You cannot say you forgive someone and you treat them with a cold shoulder, because God does not do that with us. Forgiveness is exactly what it is. I forgive what you've done. It doesn't mean that I forget it, but I'm not bringing it up. I'm not punishing you anymore. I'm not trying to withdraw from you. I'm not doing all those things that I would do if I didn't know Christ. I now treat you like Christ treats me. Matthew lets us understand this. Matthew 6, it lets us understand this when we pray the Lord's Prayer and we start praying the prayer that says, Lord, you know, as I forgive my debtors, forgive me. That even happens in the marriage. I forgive you for what you did, you know. And depending on the degree of what it is, we might need counseling. We might need to go through steps, but we're going to work at this, and I'm not going to let unforgiveness be the thing that causes us to be torn apart, because hurt, being hurt and having unforgiveness is two different things. But we don't have time to talk about it today. We'll talk about it tomorrow. Be blessed and have a wonderful day. And I pray this is helping you in every way, in every direction of your life. God bless.